good, there is none good but God. And so we see that we cannot measure ourselves against the standard of this world. We have to realize that there's only one acceptable standard of righteousness, and that is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Anything less than that is not only unacceptable, but it's considered by God as filthy rags. And just so that you will understand, Romans 14 and 23, God says, whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is not from faith is sin. So it helps us, I think, to understand sin again for what it is and how it affects us. And of course, to see it from God's perspective, because we know that anything that we do in life that is not from faith is going to be a thought, word, or action that hinders or is contrary to fulfilling the purpose and destiny that God created you and me to fulfill. Let me build on this a little bit more, then we're going to look at a few more things, praise God. But let's do this. If obedience is cooperation with God, then sin, and I don't think this is a word, but I've never stopped me in the past to make up a word, right? Sin is anti-cooperation with God. Amen. If sin is, if obedience is working with God, then sin is working against Him or thwarting His efforts to try to help us. Obeying God is our way of working together with God to see His desires fulfilled in our lives. Sin is our way of working against God and the fulfillment of His desires in our lives. Obeying God often means choosing His desires over our own, at least over our own fleshly desires. Sin means choosing our desires over God's desires for us. And so again, I'm trying to help you see and understand sin from God's perspective, especially when it comes to a born-again believer, because what we see in Scripture is that Jesus has taken our sin away. He's made us righteous. He has perfected us forever. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And because His seed of life abides in us, not only do we not sin, we can't sin. So in light of all that, though, He still says we need to acknowledge a sin when we commit one and confess it. Now, it's been a week or two since we've looked at these verses, and I don't want to stray too far from them because this is central to what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to us as we continue to build on what we've studied on Wednesday nights together for some time. That's understanding salvation and the new birth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So when He says the solid foundation of God stands, we know that His foundation of truth has been under attack long before the cornerstone of truth came and lived among us. Satan has tried all the way back with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and we don't know what was happening before then, but If there was a devil before then and people to deceive before then, we know the devil was trying to deceive them. We know he'll be put in the pit for 1,000 years. And when he comes out of the pit, the Bible says he will immediately start to try and deceive people again. He's a liar and the father of it. He's a deceiver. And by the way, deceiving means to trick someone into believing something is true that is not true. But despite all of the enemy's efforts to undermine and weaken God's foundation of truth, He says that solid foundation of God stands, and it has this seal that the Lord knows those who are His. Aren't you glad that the Lord knows those who are His? Amen. And aren't you glad that you're His, that He's put His seal upon you, His Holy Spirit and His earnest in you. And He knows who's His because He's marked you for all of eternity. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart means there are some things that we ain't got no business doing, and we need to stop it, and we need to stop it now. We need, just like if you were somewhere that you didn't need to be, you know, people doing things you ain't got no business doing, you depart from there means you get up and leave. Amen. So in the same way, He says that we should depart from iniquity. Iniquity is Sin is sin, but we see different words used to communicate sin to us. Iniquity is when we know something is wrong and do it anyway. And he says, we got to cut that out. All right. We got to cut that out. He goes on though to explain, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, there's some things that we've wanted to make sure and connect with these verses, and I won't take a long time to do it, but again, how does one become a vessel in Father's house? It's by being born again, which means receiving salvation, which means receiving Jesus. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. Amen. Who were born of God, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Amen. So we see that when we're born again, we become a vessel in Father's house. And Jesus said, when you are born again, or when he makes you a son from a slave, you go from a slave to a son. The Apostle Paul expounded and elaborated upon that truth introduced to us by Jesus in many of his writings. We're no longer slaves, but we're sons, but sons who still think like slaves will live like slaves, even though they're sons. When he makes us a son, he says, Jesus said to them in John the 8th chapter, we will abide in Father's house forever. So we are in Father's house because we've been born of his seed. And this is how we become a vessel in Father's house. The vessels here, he's not talking about bowls and dishes in God's cabinet. He's talking about people. He's talking about you and me. And he says that there are some who are vessels for honor, and there are some who are vessels for dishonor. Now, you think, okay, there are people who get real extreme on this, and it's like, okay, God says, your honor, your honor, your honor, your dishonor, honor, dishonor. No, he says that even those who are vessels of dishonor can depart from iniquity, can depart from doing dishonorable, sinful things, and become a vessel for honor. A vessel that God can fill with his honor, a vessel that God can honor, and a vessel that God can use. Now, it's deeper in my notes. I probably should have brought it up a little closer to this tonight. Remember what Jesus said about John the Baptist. He said that John was the last prophet of the Old Testament, and he says there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. One gospel writer says the greatest prophet born of a woman, John the Baptist. Another, I think, gospel writer says no greater prophet born of a woman than John the Baptist. But Jesus goes on to explain that the least in the kingdom is greater than John. How is that possible? It's one thing to be born of a woman. It's another thing to be born again. And when we're born again, we enter into the kingdom. And Jesus said, one who has been born again, born into the kingdom, even the least in the kingdom is greater than the greatest under the old system. This is the power of the new birth. This is the transformation that takes place in the new birth. Now, Jesus also explained to us what it means to be least in the kingdom. Least in the kingdom, according to Jesus, is someone who breaks the commandments and teaches other people to break them. That's iniquity. Iniquity is, not only do you know it's wrong, you're doing it anyway, and man, it gets even worse. Are you following me? Now you're compounding your error, your dishonor, by teaching other people, including other people, in your wrong behavior and sinful behavior. You're influencing other people. Man, if you read deeper into the New Testament, you'll see one of the things the Holy Spirit emphasized over and over again through the Apostle Paul is to not cause your brother to stumble. So if you're breaking commandments and teaching somebody else to break them, sounds to me like you need to be drop kicked into hell sooner rather than later. But Jesus says, least in the kingdom How do you get in the kingdom? By your good works? By behaving? No, by being born again, by receiving Jesus. Now, again, this makes people nervous. I'm not trying to make you nervous, but we got to get to the truth. We've got to get understanding here. So now he's saying those who name the name of Christ, they need to do what? They need to depart from iniquity. Because in every house there's vessels of gold and silver, vessels of wood and clay, and some vessels for honor, others for dishonor. But if you will purge, so notice here it's translated cleanse. Therefore, verse 21, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, I want to look at a parallel or a similar passage to this one. And we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. I'll put it up on the screen. He says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Wow. Now, since you are truly unleavened. Well, now, wait a minute. If I am truly unleavened, what leaven do I need to purge out? Are you understand what I'm saying? How can I be unleavened and leavened at the same time? How can I be perfected and still need to be sanctified at the same time? How can I be made free and still live like I'm a slave at the same time? How can I be righteous and still break commandments at the same time? Are you following me? This is another one of those verses that you will never understand unless and until you understand that you are a three-dimensional being, and exactly what God did for you, who he made you, and what he gave to you the day you were born again and became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, before we get any deeper into this, let's look at what it means to be unleavened, okay? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Put the brakes on that for just a second. Back to where we were on Sunday, where we were in class a few minutes ago, probably where we will be before we end tonight, and be back there Sunday again, because I don't think we can hear this too many times. What's the pattern? Jesus said, come and I will give, learn and you will find. Come and I will give, learn and you will find. So it's one thing to be unleavened, whatever that means. We're going to look at it here in just a minute. It's one thing to be made unleavened. It's another thing to see yourself as unleavened and to purge yourself from any residual leaven. Okay? All right. So, how is it possible then for them to be truly unleavened and still need to purge out leaven? Let's start with what leaven is and what it means. And for those of you who don't know, let's start here. Leaven is yeast. And yeast was used to make bread rise, among other things, bread rise, and also it would be introduced into grape juice to break down the sugars and to increase the alcohol content in wine. And so we know that the Passover, Christ is our Passover. And we know that the Passover was eaten with unleavened bread. And of course, it dates all the way back to God telling them they're getting out of Egypt, and getting out now, and we don't have time to wait for the bread to rise. Amen. But again, that bread and that blood was a giant index finger pointing to Jesus. And we know that among other things, especially in this context, leaven represents something that corrupts. Something that negatively influences and alters the finished product or the outcome of something. Are you with me? So I believe, and I know people disagree with this, that's okay. I believe that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we should do so with unleavened bread and unleavened grape juice. because the leaven is a corrupting force in that context. It corrupts the bread. It breaks down the bread. It breaks down the sugars in the bread, and that releases gases, which again cause the bread to rise. And the same with the juice. So we do unleavened bread, and we do Welch's or whatever, grape juice with no alcohol in it. And again, I know some people don't think that's right, but amen. Because again, what are they symbolic of? Jesus, the spotless lamb, his body, sinless, his blood, spotless, no corruption in his flesh and his body, no corruption in his blood, amen, that was shed to pay for our sin and our corruption. Amen. Thank you for that one. Amen. Praise God. Are you following along? Are you still with me? Okay. So let's do this. Matthew chapter 16, verses 11 and 12. Jesus speaking, he says, how is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, or like physical bread you eat, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay. Now, we'll come back to that. It's mentioned again in Mark 8:15. This was something Jesus was, I believe, consistently incorporating into the way he taught and the way he illustrated things. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. Then he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod. So, we see Jesus addressing three different kinds or types of leaven: Sadducee leaven, Pharisee leaven, Herod leaven. Okay. And we understand that that leaven will be doctrine. Doctrine will be teaching, or we could say the way they think and act influencing the way we think and act. Now, the Sadducees did not believe in the supernatural. They did not believe. They believed all the miracles in the Old Testament were fantasy, made up, never really happened. They didn't believe in life after death. They didn't believe anything supernatural, the divine intervention of God, physical healing. You see why Jesus was such a problem for them, right? And when he raised Lazarus from the dead, they not only wanted to kill Jesus for it, they wanted to kill Lazarus for it, because he was proving everything they believed and stood for wrong, literally, okay? And so the leaven then of the Sadducee, as it would maybe still try to cause problems today in the church, people who don't believe, for example, in the gifts of the Spirit. You see, that would be leaven of the Sadducee. Oh, wait a second, Pastor Mark. We still believe in miracles. We just don't believe they're for today. Leaven of the Pharisees, leaven of the Sadducees. I mean, you know, in other words, it's a version of it. It's a corruption of the truth. Amen. Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also even greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father in heaven. Leaven of the Pharisees says that doesn't mean what it really means in these kinds of things, okay? So, aren't you glad for the supernatural? Aren't you glad for divine intervention? Aren't you glad that God still does miracles, works miracles among his people? Aren't you glad for life after death? Aren't you glad that when this life is over, we've got a home in heaven and all these other things? Well, amen. Any variation of not believing that or not expecting that or not incorporating that into your life and hope and expectation would be a contamination or corruption from the leaven of the Sadducees. The Pharisees, and listen, I'm summarizing now. Somewhere in my notes, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, I had about 6 or 8 sermons on this, and maybe we'll get to it, I don't know, this summer. It's hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will lead us. But with the Pharisees, if I could just summarize the Pharisees did believe in the supernatural. They did believe in miracles. They did believe in the working of miracles and even resurrection of the dead. And that's why Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, he comes to Jesus and he says, listen, I know God's with you because no man could do the miracles, the signs and wonders that you're doing unless God was with him. So, you know, he saw these things and he believed. But what is the leaven of the Pharisees? The leaven of the Pharisees is we've got to earn it. The leaven of the Pharisees is that it's not by grace, but it's by works. It's by making ourselves right before God in the eyes of God, by our strict adherence to the law, by, you know, and once we got all the laws down pat, let's make up some more, like there's a proper way to wash your hands, and if you don't wash your hands this way, so forth and so on. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven of Herod basically is looking to the government for answers. It's some kind of perverted religious-sized version of of government being what we need and looking to that to fix and solve all of our problems. And far too many, again, in the church today, they have more confidence in the government than they have in God to take care of them, to provide for them, for all kind, economic things, so forth and so on. Are you, amen or oh me? Amen. And so, and we see that Satan tries to take advantage of that in people's lives, because the devil wants you dependent upon anything or anybody other than God. And so if it's religion, if it's some form of religion that denies the power of God, some form of godliness that desires, that denies the power thereof, or if you're dependent on the government or look to the government, look to, religion, look to your own good works, your own self-righteousness. Again, the devil doesn't care what it is as long as it's not putting your trust, in God. So I'm just trying to give you a little background, on what, leaven is. So in this context, let's try to get to a bottom line. In this context, leaven represents ways of thinking and living that contaminate and corrupt that contaminate and corrupt something that will negatively affect its results or outcomes. Here's the thing about leaven, okay? Was it Brill Cream? A little dab of do you? A little dab of do you? You can take a little bit of leaven and put it in a relatively large lump of dough, and given enough time, it will affect the entire lump of dough. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And this is the thing, I believe, again, why Jesus emphasized it over and over again. And we see this, example used for us in different places throughout the scripture, is because it doesn't take a whole lot of wrong thinking to corrupt a whole lot of good thinking. It doesn't, in other words, are you following what I'm saying? And so notice, let's go back to it. He says that, we got to purge out the old leaven because you truly are leavened. All right. So this faithful group on Wednesday night should know these answers, right? What part of us is truly leavened? Our born again spirit. Where would there be residual leaven, especially with the hint that leaven involves doctrine or teaching or thinking, right? Then we see that leaven that needs to be purged out is not in our born again spirit. It's in the part of us that thinks, feels, and makes choices, or also known as our soul, and then manifests in our actions, words, thoughts, words, and actions, our behavior. Amen. So he's not saying that they're unsaved. He's saying that they need to depart from iniquity. They need to cleanse themselves from the latter, from things that are making them a vessel for dishonor in Father's house. Not getting them put out of Father's house, but again, grieving the Holy Spirit, making it difficult, if not impossible, for God to work with them, in them, for them, and through them. And so what do they need to do? They need to depart from iniquity. They need to walk away from it. And now we see here, I guess the part that, if I don't get much further than this tonight, the things that the Holy Spirit is really, I think, just emphasizing and breathing on. Notice, praise God. Let's go back to 2 Timothy now. And I highlighted it, in verse 19. Depart from iniquity. It's one thing for Jesus to deliver you from iniquity. It's another thing for you to depart from iniquity. Amen. See, the church and religion has taught us that they're the same thing. They're not the same thing. His blood has delivered me from iniquity. Now he's empowered me with the Holy Spirit, and he's working through discipleship and learning of Jesus with the yoke of discipleship to put it out of my life. Notice the wording, so depart from iniquity. And then in verse 21, highlighted, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. What are we seeing here? There are some things in our lives that unless we cleanse ourselves, unless we depart from, unless we purge out. Are you following this? All right. Now, this could be confusing, but once again, this is among the thousand questions an understanding of spirit, soul, and body will answer and make crystal clear for us. I want to just touch on this tonight, and then maybe we'll build on it some more next week. Remember, three-dimensional beings, you are a three-dimensional being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Three-dimensional beings require three-dimensional salvation. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it under the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says you have been saved, you are being saved, you shall be saved. When you receive Father's gift of salvation, you received it all, past, present, and future. You received His work in the new birth and your new spirit. You received His ongoing work to help you in the process and lead you in the process of renewing and reconditioning your mind. And He also committed to you that once He began that work in you at the spirit level of your nature being true self, that He would not stop until you have a glorified body. And so the Bible says you have been saved, you are being saved, you shall be saved. Now, under normal circumstances, I would have taken a little longer to explain all that. But again, this Wednesday night bunch can probably teach those things as well, if not better than me, okay? Notice, and man, the Lord really kind of, you say something and say something and say something. For years I said your mind, will, and emotions. And the Lord corrected me. He said, you need to reverse that. It's your mind, your emotions, and your will. Because thoughts influence emotions that, thoughts produce emotions that affect the choices or the will. Okay. And so now we're coming to a new way of saying it. And we're going to kind of phase this in. All right. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in and through a body. I usually say you live in a body. You don't just live in a body. You live through a body. I'm living through a body. I'm inside this body looking out at you right now, and you're inside yours looking out at me. And so we're living through a body, not just in it, but through it. Amen? Yes? Okay. So God has an answer for sin relative to spirit, soul, and body. Did sin affect us spiritually? You better know it did. How did it affect us spiritually? Well, how about it killed us? Slap dead. Amen. Jesus didn't come to this earth to make bad people good again. He came to make dead people live again. Amen. So sin killed us. So the salvation that has been provided that we have received, it is designed by God to correct the issues, effects, and influences of sin on our true self, our true nature, our true being, our spirit. Okay? But we see that Father God has also provided salvation, ongoing work of salvation, relative to our soul. What exactly has He provided? What exactly has He committed? What exactly has He offered for us in that regard, that respect? Well, a lot. A lot. One of the biggest is He put His Holy Spirit in us to lead us and guide us into all truth, which the truth is what we need to renew and recondition our minds. How about the Holy Spirit in us to will and to do what is in, Father's good pleasure? So Holy Spirit's in us and he's not going anywhere. But as it relates to God helping us overcome sin in the soulish part of us, amen, we have to yield to the Holy Spirit. We have to cooperate together with him. Now, then we come to our flesh or our physical body, where sin manifests. Remember, we see from James, it starts with a thought and a temptation, and left unchecked, it grows and gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings death. Okay. So we see then that it comes from, just like the inward realities of a new birth become an outward expression of life, Satan is wanting to take those wrong attitudes and wrong beliefs and wrong thinking and wrong understanding formed by our experiences in the world, and those to manifest in our lives with acts of sin. Sinful thoughts, sinful words, sinful actions. And did Jesus not make it very clear to us in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, it's not just the act of sin. You can sin in your heart and never follow through with it in action, and it's no different than if you had went and done it. And I know some people say, well, that ain't fair. That's God trying to help you. Remember what sin, again, this is where we got to go back to hamartia. We got to go back to hamartia. And God knows if you're sitting around filling your mind with all kinds of sinful thoughts, lewd thoughts, rude thoughts, whatever kind of thoughts, crude thoughts, whatever, that ain't going to help you fulfill his purpose and destiny and live a life crowned with glory and honor. It's not about how much can we get away with and still go to heaven. It's about what do we need to do in cooperation with the Holy Spirit to live every day of our life in victory and glorify our Father and fulfill our purpose and destiny in his kingdom. Amen? All right. So then it comes to the body, the actions, right? Thoughts, words, actions. Have you learned with me, I think you have, amen, that the more we learn to think the way God created us to think, the easier it is for us to put down the sinful passions of the flesh, right? But now let's go, and maybe we'll come back to this. I've got probably an hour and a half worth of notes on this, amen. But I'm not going to do it to you. Just stay with me. Amen. Somebody, ooh. All right, just stay with me. Praise God. Can you hang in here just a minute or two longer? Because this is what I want you to see, because I think it's so beautiful, right? When it comes to, I've asked this question before. What did you do to be born, right? Nothing. Amen. You just came to on planet Earth around 2.5-3 years old. And like, well, Shazam, here I am, you know, amen. Okay. So when it comes to our new birth, being born again, we didn't do much more than that. We just heard, believed, and received, and confessed, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the bottom line is, when it came to Father God dealing with sin and our true self and being and nature, he did that for us. And contrary to what a lot of people believe in the body of Christ, the scriptures are very clear. It's a completed eternal work. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Okay. Now, as it relates to our soul, see, now more cooperation is involved on our part. Holy Spirit will help us, but remember, our thinking is a sacred line that God will not violate unless he's welcomed and invited in and we cooperate with him. So he wants to help us think right and change the way we think, but he's not just going to program your mind. We got to cooperate with him in the renewing and the reconditioning of our minds. And of course, we know we do that by worship and fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with believers and doing what we're doing tonight, studying the word together, growing together. And we see that takes place in increments and then big steps and breakthroughs and all the above, right? But again, it's one thing for you to be in Father's house. He pretty much did all that for you. If you're going to be a vessel for honor in Father's house, you're going to have to start cooperating with him and working together with him enduring sound doctrine, putting forth the time and effort necessary to think the way he created and intended for you to think, okay? But he'll help you with that. And, you know, I'm not trying to put a percentage on it, but it's at least 50-50, right? Okay, but then it comes to, okay, so what about sin? This is what the verses we looked at tonight. Then it comes to the part of your thoughts, words, and actions. And this is where he'll help you. I'm not saying he won't help you. But it's kind of like to receive salvation and be born again. You had a little bit to do with that, and he had a lot to do with it. When it comes to you saying no to sin and departing from iniquity, he'll help you, he'll strengthen you, all of this stuff. But a whole bunch of that is on your willingness to walk away from it, your willingness to cleanse yourself from it, your willingness to separate yourself from it, your willingness to put it down and walk away. Are you seeing this? So it's like a sliding scale, you know, so to speak. Little cooperation on our part, big results to be born again. At least 50-50 cooperation on our part with the Holy Spirit for the renewing and reconditioning of our minds. But then when it comes to, all right, he's equipped you, he's done all this for you, he's given you all these things, right? He's put the man of sin to death, all these things. Now it comes, we just have to bow up and say no. We have to bow up and say no. And that's how you purge yourself of these things. That's how you depart from iniquity. Is this making sense to you? All right, stand with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we can do it because we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Amen. We can say no. We can say no to the Reese cups, even the Reese cup eggs. We can say no to those. Research proved what I've known all along. That's the number one Easter candy. It's that Reese cup egg. Now I eat other things, so I'm not trying to brag, but I did not eat a single Reese cup egg this Easter. And I walked through, I made it, Don. I made it through, and then I walked through Walgreens Monday evening to pick up something for somebody, and there it was, Marty. It was the Reese cup, not the egg, but the bunny. 50% off. I said no. I departed from iniquity. Praise God. I said no to it. I'm being silly now, okay? Amen. I did eat my covenant sister's coconut cake. I ate my covenant mother-in-law's fudge cake. Yeah, I did that. So I don't sit here thinking I didn't eat any sweets for Easter, but I didn't eat a six-pack of them. I start to say blame them six-pack of them. Oh, sweet Jesus. We can do it. We can say no. Amen. We can depart from things that we need to depart from with the Lord's help. Praise God. But we gotta be willing. So there's some things you can't cleanse yourself from at all. There's some things that when it comes to cleansing you and purging you and removing it from you, only he can do it. You can't do a thing in the world to get sin out of your spirit other than ask him to do it. But when it comes to getting sin out of your flesh, he'll help you, but you can't. Amen. Oh, when's the Lord going to take these things away from me? He's already taken them away from you. Right? Had a lot of people over the years, Pastor Mark, when's the Lord going to take these cigarettes away from me? First of all, he didn't give them to you. Amen. I'm trying to make anybody mad. Hear me. He didn't give them to you. But he'll help you put them down, but you understand what I'm saying? You got to get them things out of you. You got to purge. You take that step and let him come in there and help you. Amen. Yes? Okay. Father, you're good to us. And Lord, we know that there are a lot more serious things than cigarettes and chocolate-covered peanut butter Easter eggs. But even in the small things all the way up to the bigger things, Father, we can depart from pornography. We can depart from idolatry. We can depart from greed. We can depart from unforgiveness and selfishness. Lord, we can depart from gossip and judging. A lot of things, Father, that are causing your precious children, vessels in your house, preventing them from being vessels for honor. And so, Lord, we're going to purge out the old leaven because we are already truly purged. We're already truly unleavened. You did all the hard part for us. You did the eternal part for us. And you're right there to help us do the next steps. And so, Father, I thank you tonight for helping us become those vessels for honor, crowned with glory and honor. Lord, not one day when we get to heaven, but right here, right now on this earth, bearing fruit that glorifies your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Amen. I know a lot going on this time of year, and I just feel like it's so important for us to continue to get